En el nombre del Padre, y del Hijo, y del Espíritu Santo. Amén. I want to acknowledge the presence of our brothers from the Black Caucus. I ask that the Spirit of God continue to be with you as you deliberate on the future of your place in our Synod for the benefit of the whole Church. I also want to acknowledge the presence of the Center for Hispanic Studies students of this seminary. We will have a worship service in Spanish at 7 o'clock tonight. So if you're around, you'll be in the Undercroft Chapel, and you're certainly welcome to be with us for that. The text for this morning's meditation is the one from the Gospel of Paul to the Romans, in this case, where Paul praises the gospel, but also praises the faith of the Romans, and you can sense the love that Paul has for them, the love that Paul has for the church. The Apostle Paul had long planned to visit the brethren in Rome, who had heard the gospel probably from other Christian preachers even before him. And when Paul wrote his epistle to the Romans, he had yet to deliver a collection to the poor Jewish Christians in Jerusalem before making the long-awaited trip to the west. Upon arriving at Rome, Paul had also hoped to enlist the support of the local church for a missionary trip to Spain. Well, Paul did make it to Rome after his Jerusalem trip, though in chains. And as far as we can gather from both the silence and hints of Scripture, as well as church tradition here and there, it does not seem that the apostle made it to Spain. In fact, Rome might very well have been his place of martyrdom. One of the most moving scenes of the movie Peter and Paul is one where the Apostle Paul, played by Anthony Hopkins, is in chains and being escorted by Roman soldiers into the city of Rome. As Paul approaches towns in the outskirts of the city, great numbers of Christians appear from behind the bushes to greet with joy their spiritual father, their brother, their apostle. With some difficulty, an exhausted Paul, chains and all, takes courage, is strengthened by the faith of these brethren, smiles, and hugs old and young alike. You can tell Paul loves the fellowship of believers. The text from the epistle to the Romans bears evidence that such a deep bond of love between Paul and his Roman brothers and sisters developed over time. The apostle gives thanks for them. He praises their faith. He remembers them in his prayers. He asks God to bring him to them so that he might share some spiritual gift with them for their mutual encouragement in the faith. And yes, the apostle longs for the opportunity to preach the gospel to them. The apostle's heart beats for the Romans. To them, Paul writes one of the most comprehensive and beloved epistles in the Christian world for all time. Of course, we Lutherans especially treasure those last verses of the assigned text on justification before God through faith that set up the whole tone for the epistle and exposes the heart of the gospel that Paul so sacrificially preached to Jews and Gentiles alike. Although the wrath of God is indeed revealed against sin, the apostle Paul also eagerly preaches the power of the gospel for the salvation of everyone who believes. And what does this gospel reveal to us? The righteousness of God through faith in Christ, the heart of the epistle, indeed of the gospel. But may I suggest that today we also remember the heart of Paul, the depth of his love for Christ's church, Paul's intense love for the church, which indeed flows out of his love for Christ and the power of his gospel, for which he was appointed an apostle, was put in chains, and ultimately died. This we learn from Paul. One cannot love the church enough. It's not always easy to love the church, is it? We know that the church's less than perfect life often discredits her witness in word and deed before all men. We know that. And because the church in the world is always suffering the attacks of the devil, tentatio, and at times giving in to the evil one and the flesh and the world, the church often becomes a scandal before men. We know that. In a sense, we should not be shocked. It is primarily against the light that the darkness is most often clearly seen in the lives of the saints. In the sphere where the devil builds a chapel next to God's church. And sometimes Satan wins a battle here and there in the deserts of our lives where we are most likely to fall. The church is hit hard from all sides. We know that. Hispanic Christians know that too. Being a Hispanic Christian is a bittersweet experience. Colonized by those who bring the gospel and yet always finding voices of hope that come out precisely of that gospel and of people who witness in their deeds and their mercy that gospel. And my African-American brothers, I don't have to tell you about the church being a scandal. But then there are voices too. The faith of our forefathers, foremothers, who hang in there with the church. There are always voices of hope and grace in the church. We also know then that we can take heart in that gospel, in those voices, those faithful witnesses, and receive the encouragement of our brethren in the faith as we struggle together to be witnesses of Christ in the world. We can learn again and again, it's tough, to love the church as Paul's heart beats for the Roman brethren. Yes, as Christ himself loves the church to the point of giving his own life to make her holy, wrinkles and all. The Apostle Paul can deal with all kinds of mess and divisions in the church. He knows the scandal that is the church. He sees himself as part of the problem, for he sees himself as the greatest of sinners. And yet he does not run away from the church, but rather sticks with the church and sticks in this mother that nurtures all Christians through his gospel, his strength, his hope. Luther did not run away from the church, the student of Paul. He stick to the church. The assigned text from Romans gives us a picture of what it means to love the church. Like Paul, we love the church when we give thanks to God for our brothers and sisters, near and far. We love the church when we praise their faith in Christ. We love her when we remember that at all times they should be prayed for. We love her when we encourage one another in our faith with the gifts we have been given. And we love her when we are eager to speak and hear the gospel of salvation in Christ from one another in our struggles, in season and out of season, in chains or without chains. And why not, like Paul, we can even long to visit one another, brothers, sisters, near and far, whenever possible. The text is an invitation for us today to be church, to live out the gospel with one another, as Paul loved the Romans. For Paul, this self-giving love for the church, in his case to the point of martyrdom, flows out of God's own gracious revelation in his gospel, that sinners, any sinner, sinners are forgiven. They're declared righteous before him through faith in Christ. So today, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we learn this from Paul. You cannot love the church enough. To paraphrase Luther, student of Paul, God does not love the church because she is beautiful. The church is beautiful because God loves her. Let us stick with the church, suffer with the church, be strengthened by the church. Let us love the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.